tell me a bit about the Lucy Faithfull Foundation.
Okay, Lucy Faithfull Foundation has been in existence for close on 22 years, works in the UK, deals only with child sexual abuse. We started as a treatment centre for sex offenders, and we've gradually evolved into a place that undertakes work in the community, and much more recently work in public education and advising schools and the parents and teachers and children themselves about how to keep themselves safe from sexual assault, and providing advice and guidance to professionals in terms of the same subject.
And you were speaking today about internet abuse. Tell me about that.
Well, ever since the internet started, I think we've had an issue with pornography and the dissemination of pornography and the dissemination and consumption of child abuse material. And people need to understand that child abuse material, sometimes people call it child pornography, is basically a record of a child being sexually assaulted. And people view that material for sexual gratification. And many of those people come to that material because they've been going online and they've been looking at general pornography sites, and those sites have gradually become dull to them and their interest has shifted over to the consumption of material related to, I guess, to teenagers, and then they follow those sites and then they're ultimately looking at images of children being sexually assaulted. So it's a pretty slippery slope, really, from one thing to the other. The other aspect of it is that children themselves go online using the internet via their smartphone or via tablets at home or computers at home and so forth. And those children are looking at pornographic sites. And the anxiety around, I think, is that children are educating themselves prematurely about what sex is and what sex isn't, because a lot of pornography contains very unhelpful, misogynistic and exploitative messages for children about how they should behave and so forth. So in the UK, certainly, children are getting a very premature, very inappropriate education, for want of a better word, about sex and how to behave and what sexy is and so forth, that's leading them into trouble. Following on from that, we have children taking self-taken images, selfies, of themselves, sometimes because other people have asked them to, sometimes because they've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend that asked them to. And what children are unaware of is that those images never disappear, and once they've sent them to somebody, they can be put on the internet, they can be sent to other people at school, and the cat's essentially out of the bag. And then I think the third thing is about children who get approached online by adults who've sexual ambitions towards them, want to abuse them and exploit them, and children then engage with these individuals, sometimes on a friendly basis because they think this person understands them or is a mentor to them and so forth, and some kind of pseudo-romance develops, when in truth the only thing that the adult has in mind is some form of sexual contact and exploitation, or sometimes for that child to send them images, sexual images of themselves that they then later use to extort other images or persuade the child to meet them and so forth by saying, you sent me these pictures, these are sexual pictures. If you don't meet me, I'll post these on your Facebook site or I'll send these to your mother and so forth. So children, in a naive way, are becoming entrapped by adult perpetrators.
And the final piece there where you talk about children becoming entrapped by perpetrators, that's very clear. But the second piece you talked about there, where you're talking about children themselves posting photographs, maybe doing it with pals and dares and all sorts of things. So, like, that's, I think most of us would be absolutely disgusted and horrified at children being abused in this way.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you understand that piece where children could be contributing, it would appear, you're saying?
It's a question of education. There are huge pressures on children that come from the society and from the media, really, to be sexy, especially girls. There's massive pressures on girls as they approach adolescence to define themselves in terms of how sexually attractive they are or how sassy they are and so forth. And I think children are very easily drawn into the sense that to be sexy and sensual is all part of the reason for being. And I think it's very easy thereafter for either children to exploit each other, because peer-to-peer, child-to-child abuse does occur. We mustn't be oblivious to that. We must understand that occurs. And that children do, you know, and they do take pictures of themselves. Sometimes they're in what they feel is a romantic relationship with a boy, or a boy with another girl and so forth. And they might, during the course of that, take pictures of themselves or pictures of each other. There are legal constraints upon that children aren't aware of, and they're breaking the law by doing so. But once they've taken those pictures and they've sent them to anybody, they're out of their control. They don't understand that these pictures that they take today in a moment of fun or disinhibition, or sometimes a moment of coercion or as a dare, they don't seem to realise that these pictures are around forever on the internet, and sometimes they end up in collections of men, of male perpetrators, and of online groomers who are adults and so forth. So we need to be, as a society, we need to be engaging with children, talking to them about the pressures that are on them to be sexy and to be sexual, that are often inappropriate and premature, and at a time when they're developing and so forth, and to be aware of how they might resist that. And a lot of that means engaging with parents, and ensuring that parents know what their children are doing when they're on the internet, just as you would hope that parents would know where their children are when they go out for the day, and keep an eye on them. The internet's a fantastic, exciting place, but it can be a fantastic and dangerous place at the same time.
And if we go back to the people looking at these images on the internet, like, are they a particular kind of person, or, you know the way you can have stereotypes?
Yeah.
Are there?
No, not at all. All sorts. Clearly, the vast majority are men. They're from all sorts of backgrounds: educated people, professional people, people with high levels of technical skill. Sometimes very sad people, sometimes inadequate people, sometimes very, very competent people. There's no great personality type, really. These are people that find comfort or excitement in sexual imagery, in imagery of teenagers, or imagery of children, or generic pornography. What we seem to be noticing in the UK, certainly in our group work with men, these men in the Lucy Faithfull Foundation, is how many of them come through to child abuse imagery through a pre-existing interest in pornography, in adult pornography, and they've tended to use pornography as a means of cheering themselves up, and their interest becomes out of control or quite obsessive over time, and they and because of the internet provides anything they can imagine they find, they start to look for more interesting material, or material that has a greater shock value or a greater charge, and ultimately they're actively looking for child abuse imagery. And the motives are very diverse, really. Some clearly have an unambiguous sexual ambition and sexual interest in children. Others, it's much more vague than that, that they have a wish to escape from the real world, and escape into a fantasy life and a fantasy world, and distract themselves and engage in material that they find fascinating. And in some cases, the search for new material becomes as important as what the material is that they find. And this is why we sometimes engage with men who've got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of images, some of which they can hardly have ever looked at, because there are so many of them. So sometimes it's an obsessive interest that comes out of control and leads them into significant difficulties. And if they're arrested, their lives change significantly. They lose their jobs, they lose their partners or wives, they lose their homes, they lose their reputation, and so forth. And so people need to be made aware, men need to be made aware of what may befall them if they engage in looking at this material.
Are there a lot of people looking at this material?
Substantial numbers of people are found to be looking at child abuse material, yes. And I think realistically, although it would be nice to think that they'll all be found and they'll all be arrested and they'll all be held to account, I think that's pretty unlikely. So the foundation, we engage with the men who've been arrested, and we conduct assessments for the courts on men who've been arrested. Yes, that's fine. But more than that, we need to go upstream and we need to think about where all these men are coming from and why they're doing this thing. And if there's anything that we can do before they commit offences that will prevent them from committing offences. And to that end, we've been involved in an initiative called Splash Pages. And how that works is that when websites are known to host indecent material and individuals try to access them, instead of seeing that material, they get a message online that tells them that they've been attempting to break the law, that their conduct is problematic, and if they want to, they should do something about it. And if they want to do something about that by seeking therapy and education, then they can call a helpline number, and then those individuals are offered the Stop It Now helpline number. And in truth, numbers of those men call and indicate to us that they started looking at pornography and they've drifted into child abuse material and they've found that compulsive for some reason, and they feel ashamed of themselves and they feel bad at the same time as they want to carry on looking and so forth. They're often very ambivalent and confused about what it is that they want, and then we can offer those individuals therapy and education and counselling to prevent them from looking again.
And it is possible to get help. It is possible for people to actually change this practice.
Yeah, we believe it is. We run groups for men who've been convicted of downloading abusive imagery. We run groups in the UK for 10 weeks, 10 sessions, with about 10 men in each group. And so far, we've found those men to be entirely engaged. It's a good service we provide, I think, and that they interestingly enough, they pay for it themselves, which is indicative, I think, of the amount of concern they have about their own behaviour. And so far, we've had very good results in terms of shifting their attitudes to what it is they've done, giving them some insight about what child abuse imagery is, that it's child abuse being filmed by someone, and hopefully preventing them from helping them make better decisions in the future and avoiding relapse. Yes.